This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. They say be careful what you wish for, and if you wished for a white Christmas along the Great Lakes, you've gotten it and then some. For example, nearly 3 feet of snow in Buffalo.
I'm Bruce Marcus in northern Wisconsin, which is seeing several inches of snow. It makes shoveling difficult.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about the snow. Forced exercise.
And driving is also tough.
I have an all-wheel drive car now, and I drive very slowly. And if I see somebody coming up who doesn't understand the rules of the road, I get out of their way.
What Bruce didn't tell you is that the feels-like temperature where he is in Eagle River, Wisconsin, is minus 14. It's warmer, 27 degrees in El Paso, but too cold to be sleeping outside. That's what many migrants have been doing. Daniel Morgan says he's not getting into the politics of immigration. He's just trying to help.
It's a really complex issue that I'm no expert at, but it's just people that are in need and people that it's easy to lend a helping hand to if you're just willing.
Christmas Day flight cancellations have dropped well below the numbers we've seen in the past few days, but that's no consolation for those left stranded and frustrated. Mary George was trying to fly out of San Francisco.
The lines were so long, went through security, got to our gate, happened to look up and said our flight was canceled. There was no text, no emails, no nothing.
FlightAware reports more than 1,300 cancellations today. Retailers are counting the receipts from the season, and as CBS's Steve Futterman tells us, they may be disappointed with the bottom line.
The holiday shopping season began with great expectations, but in November, consumer spending rose only 0.1%. In one survey, Americans said they are buying 9 gifts this season, down from 16 a year ago.
Arizona's GOP gubernatorial candidate has lost her bid to overturn the election she lost in November. Here's KTVK TV's Amy Cutler.
Maricopa County Judge Peter Thompson notes the court cannot accept speculation or conjecture, and that the plaintiff, Republican Carrie Lake, failed to provide clear and convincing evidence. Lake's team had to prove a county employee interfered with the printers in a way that caused her to lose votes and or that ballots were added to the county's total unlawfully.
There's no chimney aboard the International Space Station. The astronauts celebrating Christmas have hung their stockings by the airlock with care, figuring that's where Santa would drop their gifts. Nicole Mann says she'll miss helping to make a big holiday feast at home.
Because we're in space and we don't have gravity, heat doesn't rise, so you don't get smells like you do on Earth, but we're still going to have a pretty good feast.
And a pretty good view. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's exactly right, and a wonderful Native organization helps to sponsor this portion of the program. It is the Native American Community Development Institute, and they run the All My Relations Arts Gallery on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Right now, they have a wonderful dance performance by Rosie Sima's Dance called She Who Lives on the Road to War, but there are limited in-person performances, and there's only 10 days left, so make sure you go to allmyrelationsarts.com and get your tickets.
Yeah, good call there. Hey, Ogama, we don't do this enough, but we want to say Pinigigi to all our Patreon supporters. And we're on the Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island. And I just want to thank people, and Pinigigi means thank you in Ho-Chunk. Thank you for the pleasure and the privilege of your time when people listen to our show. I think that's really huge. And we run into people all the time that listen to our show, Ogama, and I just want to give a heartfelt Pinigigi thank you. And let's get to the news now that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we get with Ogama here? And everyone, wherever I go, Ogama asks about you. So take it away.
Yeah, bonjour, Anine relatives. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I have some news today. The first little bit of news I want to give you is just right up in line with what Robert said. We really appreciate and want to say chi-mi-gwich to our Patreon donors. And if you're interested in being generous and giving for the holiday season, you can go to patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. And anything that you feel comfortable donating is definitely helpful to us here and helps us to provide the great content that you hear on our show every day. So patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was just a little bit of a wrap up on the Tribal Leaders Summit that happened this past week in at the White House in Washington, D.C. And I think what is most interesting, there has been like a very short window of time for this White House Tribal Nations Summit. It was started under Obama, and then between COVID and the Trump administration, things went kind of quiet. And now this year was its first year back in person since Obama. So there was a lot of Native people who came up. But I think one of the most interesting things is that Indian Country Today reported that the youth were there and tribal leaders were there, and they were saying things like, you're saying we respect your treaties and then not actually respecting treaties, or you're saying that we're going to come and transition from consultation to consent, but you're not doing that. So there were tribal leaders there who were really willing to talk with federal officials and say that the government is not doing its due diligence, and they're giving a lot of words without action behind them. And that is really exciting, I think, for me to hear about. How about you, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. And it really, it makes me personally pause, because, you know, we talk a lot about things, and we need to really walk the walk. And I don't mean you, but I'm just meaning the general you. And so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that tribal leaders were, you know, respectfully critical of what happens at the federal level with the government and the diligence that's needed to ensure that Native people are heard. So that kind of leads me into my next thing, which is that there's, and this is from 2021, but I don't know that we've talked about this yet. So I wanted to make sure that we were aware of this, but the Safeguard Tribal Objects of Patrimony Act of 2021 is passed, and the bill prohibits the exportation of Native American cultural items and archaeological resources that were illegally obtained. It provides for the return of those items, including voluntary returns, and establishes and increases the related criminal penalties. So this kind of stemmed out of a Southwestern tribe who had a shield that had been stolen a long time ago, and it turned up in an auction in Paris. So what it means is there's no exportation of Native American cultural items, which is a way that people who steal Native historical facts for profit find a way around the current federal laws preventing people from creating non-Indigenous works of crafts and other things when they're not an Indigenous person. So this bill also requires the Department of the Interior and the Department of the State to each designate a liaison to facilitate and hold trainings and workshops on the voluntary return of human remains and cultural items. Many universities and museums across the country still have the remains of our relatives and cultural items within their collections, I guess you could call it. And many of them are on display. And a lot of Native people, myself included, find that really deeply disturbing. I don't know about you, Robert.
Wow, Ogama, such a good point, and thank you for bringing that up. I know I don't want to cut into your segment here, but I just have a personal experience with somebody that passed away. Their father was an antique store owner for many, many years, and guess what he had? He had scalps. He had all these things that was okay to sell, you know, 30, 40 years ago to other people. So it just blew my mind.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the idea of, you know, going into a museum and, you know, they're not a replica, they're not something that, you know, it's not dinosaur bones, you know, it's not, although I don't necessarily believe in the treatment of the dinosaur nation in that way either, but yeah. I mean, you know, they're replicas, and there's really no good reason for the remains of another human being to be on display in a museum or to be regularly used at a university level. Anything that can be learned from those remains has probably, number one, already been learned, and number two, does not need to be on display in a public setting to learn anything more from it. So
you're kind of cracking yourself up about that dinosaur clan, weren't you, there for a second?
I was. You know, my family really enjoys, that's our favorite joke from Reservation Dogs, is the dinosaur nation, and we joke about it all the time. Couple more things in this STOP Act is what it's called, the Safeguard Tribal Objects and Patrimony Act. It's also going to require the convening of a Native working group consisting of representatives of Native tribes and Native Hawaiian organizations to provide advice on the issues concerning the return of and illegal trade in human remains and cultural items. And it increases the penalty for prison term for stealing or being convicted of selling, purchasing, using for profit, or transporting for sale or profit human remains or cultural items. It increases that from 5 years of prison time to 10 years of prison time for the maximum term. So it doesn't say that there's a minimum term, but they did increase the maximum term to 10 years. So that is definitely something that I'm feeling feeling much relief about. And it says 2021, but I don't think that we touched base on that yet this year. So I wanted to make sure to bring that up. And then just a quick note here from CNBC, the Department of the Interior is providing three tribes $75 million to relocate from their coastal areas because they're at risk of destruction due to climate change. The Nutok Village and the Native Village of Napakiek in Alaska and the Quinault Indian Nation in Washington State are each going to receive $25 million to relocate their buildings inland. And they're also lining up and awarding $5 million grants to eight other tribes to help them plan for relocation because their tribes will need to be relocated. So they are on coastal areas that are at risk for destruction and flooding. And, you know, it just goes to show that tribal nations and Native peoples and other people of color are historically oppressed and disenfranchised groups in the United States and are more exposed to the effects of climate change and risk. So while I'm happy the federal government is giving the funding, it would have done a lot more to prevent this climate change to begin with.
Hey, Pini Gigi Ogama, for the news, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be with talking to the executive director of Take Action Minnesota. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Daytime highs approaching 9 above today under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the west 10 to 15 miles an hour. Snow showers likely tonight, 6 above. Overcast, cloudy tomorrow. Chance of snow showers, high of 16. A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently near zero.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And I suppose in a way it's also brought to you by Take Action Minnesota, because we have a guest on tonight from Take Action Minnesota, Robert.
Wow, what a great segue, Ogama. Hey, we have the director of Take Action Minnesota, Elena Farhat, and I see that she's on here and her mic's muted. That's hard to say. Mic's muted. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, good evening. We are all over Turtle Island here. We're on 10 stations live across the country, and we want to support what's going on coming up here. And first, tell our listeners, we have a lot of people all over the country listening, what is Take Action Minnesota? And then let's talk real quick about the event that's coming up.
Yeah, good to be here. Glad to be heard by so many people in so many places. Take Action Minnesota is a statewide multiracial, multigenerational people's organization, bringing people together across our state to take action for racial, economic, and gender justice. And we really act from a place of our values. We really believe in a world where everyone can live happy, full, thriving lives. And we start there. And then we say, what is getting in the way of that? And we connect people together to come together in public and make the change we need to see in our communities and in our state.
You know, I've loved your organization for a long, long time. And it just, you know, when it comes to all the progressive stations we're on across the country, it really just every bullet point that what you guys do just align with us so perfectly. And it's really an honor to have you on. We have a relative of yours on every Friday, and it's fun to hear her story because her daughter kind of got her into politics, and now she's a state senator of Minnesota.
Yeah, I think you're talking about my mom, Robert. Yes, that is right. My mom is Senator Mary Kunish, and she loves being on your show. And, you know, I just had my sister and I both had daughters this last year, first grandchildren, and they also, that's my mom's day to watch them. So it's always the rule, Robert, is we've got to pick the girls up or at least be there before she comes on your show so she can focus. And I know it's such a joy to speak with you and to everyone across the country. And yes, you know, you might think, oh, her, you know, her daughter's a executive director at Take Action and she's a state senator and what a political family. But it really wasn't that way. You know, I got into organizing. I fell into it like a lot of people just fall into it. No one told me that it could be a career path, but for everyone listening who wants a job and making change, it can be a career path. And my mom, you know, supported me, didn't totally understand it, like lots of parents of organizers, and then started volunteering on campaigns I was on. And she's incredible. You know, she's incredible at connecting with people and bringing people together and moving towards a common goal. And so was invited to run for office and get active, she said yes. And quite the force in our state, just like in our family.
Absolutely. And what's really fun, too, on Fridays, we have dueling babies because not only your baby and your sister's baby, but Ogama has a baby, too. So they're all on the air. So it's a baby fest on Friday, right, Ogama?
It absolutely is. My daughter's going to be 9 months here on the 8th. And she's on camera. She's hitting me in the microphone. She's talking in the background. It's definitely a lot of fun to have the young ones involved.
Totally.
Oh, definitely. And it's always fun to run into you at different places. I know I just got to give you a quick shout out. When I was a high school teacher, as your mom was a teacher too, when St. Paul was on strike, Take Action, and the executive director was marching right next to me. And that was great to see you there. And always surprising where I see you, but it shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, we run into each other quite a bit. But it is funny, Robert, as I was thinking about this segment and thinking about the way that workers and community are coming together to demand a better future. It's so funny. I went right back to that. And you and I marching together, you brought your drum and you let me drum. And I didn't have a very good beat at the beginning, but you were patient and I got a good beat. And we marched together. And it was just, that was a powerful moment. And I feel like the last time we marched together is really similar to the time folks are going to be marching together this Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited about having this conversation with you.
Well, let's talk about that. What's going on this Thursday?
Yeah, so this Thursday, Amazon workers and community members are coming together in an event called Workers Rising. And probably at least 150. If the folks listening to this who are in Minnesota come, it'll be more than 150. You should totally come. Gathering throughout the day to connect, build relationship, learn together, plan together. And then the big event is in the afternoon, all gathering at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Shakopee to demand that Amazon, you know, really take responsibility for its role to deliver for a just transition to a clean energy economy in our state and across the globe, as well as to deliver good jobs. And, you know, Amazon workers have been organizing in Minnesota with Awood and are facing and continue to face just you know, immoral workplace conditions, just unsafe, lots of surveillance, not good pay. And so we're all coming together to demand that Amazon be the type of place that cares for our people, both when they are working in their warehouses and in other places, as well as in our communities and for our climate.
Exactly. And they can afford all these things. And that's, you know, during the pandemic, they were the only people really making money and people buying things from them. And it's just, we need a fair wage and fair conditions for these people. We can't go backwards, right?
Right. I mean, I think the statistic is that in 2020, Jeff Bezos himself added $70 billion to his net wealth. And so that just puts it into some perspective of how much money we're talking about here, just an individual man. And so let alone the whole company. And the company continues to grow. It is the largest retailer in the country. I'm sorry, the largest retailer in the world. I think it's the sixth largest company in the world. And, you know, a lot of us interface with Amazon online shopping or, you know, seeing the Prime trucks in our neighborhoods. Or maybe we know folks who have worked in the warehouses. But right. Amazon is much bigger than that. You know, they have this massive web services infrastructure, like the back end of our internet and infrastructure. They own a lot of it, and they're contracting with our government. And so a lot of federal as well as state and local governments are contracting with those cloud services. They have the Ring. You know, if any of you have a Ring on your front door, like that's owned by Amazon, and they take that data and sell it. You may have an Alexa, you know, so they're just, it's really everywhere. And the company has gotten to, you know, when companies get so big, it's no long, you know, they're no longer like your standard. It's not even like a big company. Like we're not even talking about like, are you a small business or not? I mean, Amazon is at the size of, and with like the consolidation of power and influence that, you know, they have as much responsibility as any of our local or state entities of government to like show up and lead, and the way they operate is impacting our daily lives. And so this action is really to say, like, you are consolidating power and resources, and and that is impacting our lives. And we get to have a say in something that big with that much impact on our lives. And especially when you have that much money, you got to put it to good use, and put your money where your mouth is when you're talking about, you know, saving the planet and a just climate future.
The irony is the name of the company is Amazon. That's the irony. And this is our Standard Oil right now. We need to break them up like all these big companies and get back to that. But we only have like a minute left. Let's talk about the event one more time so our listeners can key in on that. And we'll be talking about it. Ogema and I will be talking about it for the next couple of days also.
Awesome. So if you go to our website, takeactionminnesota, all spelled out, .org, you can find more info. It starts, it's a program and rally at the Shakopee Amazon Fulfillment Center called Worker Rising. Workers and community members are coming together to demand that Amazon deliver good jobs, good, safe jobs in our communities, and that they pay for a just transition to a clean energy future in Minnesota.
Wow, Pina Gigi, for being on. Let's do this more often. Really appreciate it. And maybe one day we'll get you on the same day as your mom and surprise her.
Oh.
Great to having you on. And we'll be talking about that the rest of the days up leading up to it. So Pina Gigi, for being on, and we'll talk to you real soon. We're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back with Dr. Stately right after this short break. Stay with us.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. They're digging out in the Midwest and the Northeast after snow, and more snow. And CBS's Tom Foti says in the Plains,
a blizzard warning remains in effect in western Montana along the eastern side of the Rocky Mountains. The Weather Service advises traveling only in emergencies in that area.
Of course, the snow has meant thousands of flight cancellations and lots of angry and frustrated travelers. Some people, though, are showing compassion for the airline workers who have to deal with it all. This is Bill Scannell, lives in Calgary.
They're doing the best they can. I mean, you got to feel sorry for these poor people.
Arizona Republican Carrie Lake has lost her bid to overturn the gubernatorial election she lost in November. Judge saying there was no evidence to support her claim of electoral misconduct. Political consultant Marcus Del Artino.
The result that they were asking for has historically never happened in the United States. A judge has never ordered a whole new election in the history of the country.
CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. And the Zeros. And Porky's Groove Machine.
The Spice Girls.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Cardinal put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I just wanted to let everybody know that this portion of the show is sponsored by MNSure or MNSure. If you're looking for affordable health insurance, make sure you go to MNSure.org to find a plan for open enrollment before the end of the year.
Right on. We love the support, and being supported by MNSure is just an awesome thing. Hey, we're waiting for Dr. Stately, and I just texted him, and I'm not sure if he has the link or what. But, Ogama, I'm wondering if you have the capacity just to bring that up again about the Amazon action one more time for our people that are listening.
Yes, absolutely. So this Thursday, December 8th at the Twin Cities Amazon Fulfillment Center, there's going to be a support event for community members and Amazon workers asking for workers' rights and demanding that Amazon contribute to the just transition and to a sustainable economy and good jobs here in Minnesota. You can find more information at Take Action Minnesota. Minnesota is spelled out, not Take Action MN. It's Take Action Minnesota. .org/workersrising, or just go to the Take Action page and you'll see at the top it says Take Action. So this Workers Rising event is a campaign that's actually led by the Amazon workers themselves and supported by Take Action to demand raises, worker safety, and a just transition. And like Eliane said, while she was here, we just had Eliane Farhat, the executive director of Take Action Minnesota, join us for a segment on Native Roots Radio. And like she said, this is... there's no good reason for Jeff Bezos to not be paying his workers a living wage. He made record profits in 2020 and continues to make a record amount of money with all of the things that Amazon has stock in or things that we use in our daily lives. And they really need to take responsibility for their impact on our climate, their responsibility to treat people with respect. And there's a form on Take Action Minnesota that you can fill out to let them know that you'll be there on Thursday, December 8th at the Amazon Fulfillment Center. And I do believe the flow of the day, they're gathering at 11 a.m. at the MSP Airport Terminal 2 Blue Line Station for a morning action, and then heading over for lunch. And then at 4 p.m., they're doing the MSP One rally with Amazon workers. So make sure you go over there and get all of the details.
You know, I have a lot of books, Ogama and Dr. Stately. By the way, welcome, Dr. Stately, the CEO of a Native American Community Clinic in here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. I have a lot of books, and I feel like people that are making $70 billion, especially during the year of COVID, and not helping their community, I mean, how much money can you have? I mean, they're like hoarders, too. Oh, did I just admit being a hoarder? They are hoarders, I should say. Oh, wow. Hey, Dr. Stately. We just had a nice guest on before you.
Well, welcome. I mean, I think somebody that tries to amass billions and billions of dollars is a little bit different than somebody who tries to amass a bunch of books and knowledge.
Yeah, definitely.
It's possible you could be trying to compensate for something like a poor self-esteem, but I don't think that that's what you're doing when you hoard books.
Yeah, I think I suffer from an abundance, an overabundance of self-esteem. I think I have too much self-esteem for a person that, like me, should.
Yeah, like you got your helping and then somebody else's too.
Are you guys going to make it? That one really got Robert today. Dr. Stately, you're on point for the humor.
That was a good one. I just rolled right with that one.
It's like, hey. It's good to have self-confidence. That's what it is. It's good to have
right. good. And it's good to be a good tap dancer on live radio too.
Yeah. It's good to be humble. Hey. Our ancestors have taught us. But in all reality. Yeah, I think like one of the things that's challenging about that conversation is that, you know, there was like they always say like in moments of crisis, there's always opportunity. So I think that, you know, some people interpret that as like, oh, the world is in the middle of a pandemic. Let me, you know, become a billionaire, like 19 times over, right? Mm-hmm. Versus like, oh, let me see what I can do to contribute to the improvement and the betterment of all humankind. Some people are just wired differently, right? And well, at least I think that it really has a lot to do with, depends on that. So,
well, at least Rockefeller gave out dimes when he walked around and tried to buy people off. You know, I mean, Standard Oil, it was another big monopoly, just like Microsoft, and here we are with Amazon. And but yeah, you like that one. He did give out dimes. He had a film crew follow him around and gave out dimes to kids during the Depression, or even before the Depression. Oh, Dr. Staley, you accidentally muted yourself. And there he goes.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. I was going to say that it seems like, you know, I don't know, I guess back then in the Depression era, a dime was a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. So, when I was a kid, a dime was a lot of money. I mean, you can get like, you know, a whole handful of bubble gum for a dime.
Baseball cards are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, were a dime when I was a kid, or even a nickel.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Kind of really wishing you held on to those now, huh?
Oh, I did.
Did you? That's good.
I have a lot of them, yeah. My mom was a collector, but that's a different show. We could start a collector show or pack rat show or something like that, but Wendy would not approve.
Yeah. Well, we already know, like, through the intimations and the connotations that your wife has made on, you know, on public radio here, on the airwaves, that you do have a tendency and propensity to hold on to some things, like those things behind you.
Oh, I still haven't framed that present for you yet, but I'm not sure if you celebrate Christmas as a Native man in the Native family, so I'll have to figure out when to get this to you.
I don't necessarily celebrate that, but I do celebrate receiving of gifts.
Yeah. Celebrate that. Exactly. Hey, no, Dr. Staley, we haven't talked a lot, and there's a lot of reports out there about what's happening with COVID. You got the flu. You got all these other things coming up. And I mean, I didn't get sick for 3 years because I didn't go anywhere. And when I did, I wore a mask.
Yep. Yep. Now, I think there was like maybe 3 or 4 shows ago that I talked about, or maybe it might have been like in early September, perhaps. I talked a little bit about this, the potential for like the confluence of like the flu and COVID. And then as early as like August and September, we were starting to see, you know, the impact of lots of young kids returning to school. RSV was sort of starting to, you know, take off. And it was you could see the writing on the wall if you looked really closely and carefully. These three respiratory things that sort of like all coming together at a, you know, at an inopportune time could cause some real challenges for our communities and for our healthcare system. And that's exactly where we're at right now. Ironically, 2 weeks before Christmas, right? So it's like three weeks before Christmas.
Well, Dr. Staley, I've heard reports, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard reports that really you need that last booster. You need a flu shot for sure. But the last booster is really what's protecting people now, not the last 3 or 4 that we had earlier.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that the last booster, I think, and there's challenges, like, so we're talking about the bivalent booster, and I think that there's some people that are like, have been reluctant to get it because, I've heard multiple sort of like, you know, positions from different people on the issue of whether I should take the vaccine or not, you know, the new bivalent booster. And I think one of the challenges is that I've talked to people. I always, like, I've said this on this show before. And when I do talk to, like, folks and my colleagues or within a professional setting, but even when I talk to my relatives, I'm like, you know, even if it's just, I've said this even about the flu vaccine, even if it's only going to give me 20 or 30%, you know, or 40%, protection, like, or the 40% of effectiveness is that, you know, that kind of thing. Like, in a situation like this, I'm going to sort of kind of go with like some percentage of protection rather than zero. Like, I'm not a gambling man, but I'm pretty sure that I know that 40% of something is better than 0% of nothing.
You're not a mathematician, but that
yeah, I think exactly. And I don't even play one on TV.
Yeah, or radio.
And I know enough to know that, like, and I think that's kind of like what I always try to tell family members is, like, you know, you might not get full protection in the sense that you won't get sick from the flu, but your likelihood to have to be sick 10 days straight with the flu, with a horrific case of it, is likely to be significantly less. And COVID, of course, same situation. I happened to back in like late August, early September, I got the bivalent booster as soon as I was able to take it. And then also I got my flu vaccine. And, you know, I did that because I was sick with COVID and I still have some scarring in my lungs. And I've been having, you know, some lung issues and breathing issues on and off intermittently for the last several months. But I didn't want to take the chance that I was going to get sick again. I didn't want to take the chance that I'd have COVID at the same time I'd have for the flu. And I was not willing to take that risk because I didn't want to end up back in the hospital again. I like my experience of being in the hospital with COVID was that I was scary as heck. So,
yeah, let's talk a little bit about that in the next segment. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we're Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Minnesota, Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 9 above. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Snow showers likely. Lows dip down to about 6 above. Chance for snow showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 16. A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, relatives. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Yeah, also, this portion is also the Sacred Pack Rat podcast with Robert and Anthony. Dr. Stately. Yeah. No, hey. So,
we're
Dr.
More
Stately.
Famous than other pack rats. Rat packs.
Rat Pack with Sinatra. And well, anyways, that's another show. Hey, Dr. Stately, you know, we were just ending the last segment, and I wanted to bring that up, the segment too, is that when you had COVID, there was no vaccine, and a lot of times it was a scary, scary deal. And how quickly do we forget that? Not you personally, but just the public.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a certain amount of like complacency that we've slipped into as a society, you know. And I mean, I don't know what it's like around the world, because I don't travel anywhere outside of the state of Minnesota very frequently, because I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hockey season, and when it's hockey season, like, I'm anchored to the state. Yeah. I can't go anywhere doing it. But generally speaking, like, I think across the United States, like, one of the wealthiest nations in the world, one of the we are a well-developed country. We have so many resources, so much abundance here, and yet what we have not a lot of abundance in is having clear and having clarity around our strategy around public health, right? People are not practicing good public health strategies. I think we have, many of us have slipped into sort of like this, place where we're like, well, I'll be just fine because I don't do X, Y, and Z, whatever X, Y, and Z is going to be. And I think part of that is the practices of not wearing masks and not socially distancing and not being really careful, like washing your hands and getting good hygiene. Has not served us well in this last year, right? We've actually seen COVID in its mutated state pass fairly quickly and rapidly between and among groups of individuals and within communities, and actually contribute to significant amount of hospitalizations. And while we're not seeing the amount of people die that we were seeing in March of 2020, right, or in late 2019, we continue to see upwards of like 100 and some deaths a year. I mean, a day. Yeah. That's not insignificant. That's like about 500,000 people a year. Right. And so part of it is like getting to be, we have to get back to the place where we begin to understand like the benefits of practicing some very basic public health strategies, like, wearing masks when we're sick and we're in close in quarters with people where we're sharing space, doing things like staying home, even though, we really, really want to get to the mall and buy that one thing that we think we're going to die without. Stay home and wait until you're well,
right,
and well enough to be among other people. And that's a responsible thing to do. And what we're seeing, because people are not doing those things, is we're seeing flu rates significantly higher than they've been in a number of years. Low vaccination rates for flu. RSV ripping through communities. The people who are the most vulnerable for RSV are those little tiny ones, because they have little tiny airwaves. And RSV is a virus that causes the airwaves to sort of like close up and have difficulty breathing because of the inflation and the inflammation that happens as a result of that. And so those folks and then the much older people are much more vulnerable. I recently looked at stats from the CDC and from some of the national data. The overwhelming majority of people who are dying now from COVID, and there are many people that are still dying from COVID, are right. those who are over 65. Who are the most vulnerable. And I want people to think about like what it would mean for you to be sick with COVID, the flu, and maybe even possibly RSV if you have a child or an older person living in your home or that you have. There is no vaccine for RSV. There's really nothing you can do for them. It's a virus. They got to kind of ride it out, right? It is not going to bode well if you get both of those things or all three of them at the same time.
And it's hard too. And I remember this as teaching school. It's hard for people to keep their kids home, but they should be keeping them home when they're really sick. And you talk about masks. I just think about, you know, within a couple weeks when that judge that Trump put in there and got rid of the mask mandate on planes, I don't see anyone now with a mask on in the plane.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't take planes anywhere right now. But also, one of the things I wanted to just really quickly say is that, you know, there are a lot of people that cannot keep their children home. They have to make a decision between, like, staying home with their child when they're sick or and not going to work and losing the money that they would make to, like, you know, buy food, which is now 7 to 10 times 7% higher prices in some of those things than they were 2 years ago. So it's like, you know, the people are not.
Oh, we just lost you, Dr. Stately.
I thought it was just me, Robert.
Everyone below the 1%ers. So, right? You know, the people who are doing poorly, who are losing their homes, who are struggling with everyday life, the cost of everyday life and inflation, and it's just compounded by the illnesses that are going on, is that, you know, are the people who didn't get wealthy during the pandemic. Right. The people who got wealthy during the pandemic and had abundance, they're doing well. They can ride this thing out for as long as it needs. So we have tremendous inequities in our health system and a few other places as well. So
remember. Yeah, no, that's a perfect thing to bring up, and it's just frightening because of that. And also, you know, it's interesting too what you said about 65 and over. That's the first I've heard that. That's really frightening. Let's get that other booster. I think a lot of people are forgetting about that booster. I thought I heard only 17% have gotten the second booster.
Yeah, only 17%, which is like, I mean, that is so under, and even about something like 34% or 24%, I think, of people who normally would take the vaccine, there's like a 13 to 24% reduction depending on your jurisdiction, like of people who are not taking the flu vaccine, right? And one of the challenges that we have facing us as a result of the pandemic and some of the things that have been going on with the politicization of like the vaccines and stuff is that people have less faith and confidence in vaccines today than they had 20, 30 years ago. Right?
Unbelievable.
And so it is creating a lot of vulnerability in our society, but it's most impactful to the people who have the least amount of resources to just meet everyday demands of living.
So. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that's a great point. Thank you, Dr. Stately, for stopping in and spreading out your knowledge throughout Turtle Island. Really, really, really appreciate you and what you bring to the show. Hey, we need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max.